Rite 2 begins today on page 355. At the top of the page, blessed be God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Blessed be your kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. colic this morning is the contemporary version written on your bulletin insert. O God, who blessed the Son came into the world,
that He might destroy the works of the devil, and make us children of God, and heirs of eternal life, grant that, having this hope, we may purify ourselves as He is pure, that when He comes again with power and great glory, we may be made like Him in His eternal and glorious kingdom, where He lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Please be seated for the readings. Oh, there will be a slight pause as the children and the teachers leave for Sunday school. This is not a sign that the service is over and the rest of you can leave.
The first reading is from Ruth, chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, and chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to Ruth, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you, so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalms 127 from the I'll read the first half up to the asterisk if you'll finish. Unless the Lord builds the house,
their labor is in vain who built it.
Unless the Lord watches over the city,
in vain the watchman keeps his vigil.
It is in vain that you rise so early and go to bed so late.
Vain too is to eat the bread of toil, for he gives to his blood a sleep.
Children are a heritage from the Lord,
and the fruit of the womb is a gift.
Like arrows in the hand of a warrior
are the children amongst you.
Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them.
He shall not be put to shame when he contends with his enemies in the gate.
This is a reading from Paul's letter to the Hebrews. Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting for him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I've been to this service and some of the faces look new. So I'm Father John, and I'm here today because, Scott decided to go to Stephen's Village. And next week he's asked if I would be here so that he could go to Beaver. I think he just wants to get away for a while. For those of you that are wondering why I'm wearing these weird moccasins, it's because my primary ministry is being the chaplain for the Alaska State Defense Force. We're doing training today, and I've slipped away from that to be here for this service. It's kind of interesting that the training we have today and yesterday was to deal with mass casualties, and our instructor is a medic that had previously been stationed at Fort Hood.
And it was with my memories of being at Fort Hood that caused me to think of the song today, where it says, "It is vain to rise early and go late to bed, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." That was my favorite verse when I was with the infantry, because I hated getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go out there and beat my feet on the asphalt. And so I went into my sergeant major's office one day, and I quoted this verse as an explanation about why we should not be doing PT in the morning. He proceeded to explain to me, because he was a deacon in a little Baptist church out in the country, that particular verse is for civilians, and it's those of us that are with arrows that allow you to sleep in the morning. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Ruth. Several weeks ago, Scott explained to you that the book of Ruth had not been in the lectionary before, and that this was the first time that it was being used in the Episcopal Church. And I know that he said this to all three services, that you should all go home and read that book. And from my experience, rather than embarrass and try to find out who actually did that, I'm going to explain to you a little bit about the book of Ruth. Who here knows where the book of Ruth is found? Scott asked this. I'm going to give you a real easy way to remember it. The book of Ruth starts out, "Now it came about in the days when the judges governed, there was a famine in the land." Who can figure out where Ruth is now?
Judges,
right. It comes right after Judges. Okay. "And there was a famine in the land." You know, I love the poetry of Scripture sometimes, because then it says that there was a certain man from Bethlehem in Judea, and he went to sojourn in the land of Moab. Yesterday, sitting in my class on mass casualties, caused me to think and laugh at this word, sojourn. There was a famine in the land, and whenever there's a famine, there are mass casualties because people die, and they die in droves. And as a result of people dying, water supplies get cut off. Fuel lines don't go through anymore. Food doesn't get transported to other places, which causes more people to die. And so this man decided to sojourn. He decided to get out of Dodge, people. He wasn't going to take a chance staying there and ended up dying. He went to where there was food. Okay? There was nothing spiritual about this. He was looking out to take care of himself and his wife, Naomi. And so they left where the famine was, like many people did, and which is why America got founded in. Because parts of Europe were done the same way, where there was a famine in the land, the people moved to another place. And that's what he was in the process of doing. And this man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. Where's Ruth coming to this? Well, while they were over there in this other land, which was called Moab, they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. These were Ephrathites from Bethlehem and Judah, and they were sojourning in the land of Moab. And while they were there, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, died, which meant there wasn't anybody to bring any income in. And so her two sons found themselves wives in Moab, and one of those was Orpah, and the other one was Ruth. That's where Ruth enters into the story. They were over there sojourning in this land for 10 years. And both of those two boys had grown up, married, and died. And that left three women now over in this country by themselves with no way to support themselves. Well, Naomi had heard that the Lord had gone to her people back in Judea. And so she decided she was going to go home and meet up with some of her relatives that might take her in and take care of her.
And she looked at the two young women that were still with her, and she told them that they needed to go to their mother's home as well. And the two women at first decided not to go. So they started off, and some people who study Scripture more than I believe that what happened is that they came to the border, and there at the border, somewhere between Moab and Judah, Naomi looked at the two girls once again and begged them to go home to their own people. You know, military people have often lined up on borders to cross over. And they sat there and they've waited for weeks on end to get word that they can move into that other country. And that's what was happening here with Ruth and her sister and Naomi. They were standing there at the border, a line in the sand, someplace between Moab and Judah. A lot of things happen on borders. There was a man that lived not long ago. He died in 1961. His name was Dag Hammarskjöld. Some of you may remember the name. He was the Secretary of the United Nations. After he died, some people went through his office and went through his home, and they discovered all kinds of little pieces of paper that had things written on them. Somebody gathered up all of these little tiny pieces of paper and published a book. The name of the book is called Markings, and it was published in October of 64. And in that book, one of the statements that he kept and that helped him decide how he should try to bring nations together while he was the Secretary of the UN was a statement that says, "There is a point at which everything becomes simple. There's no longer a question of choice, because all you have staked will be lost if you look back." That's something that soldiers think about as they stand on borders. I think that that's something that Naomi and Ruth and Oprah were thinking about as they stood at that line in the sand. The border that they had come to, back in those days, borders were marked differently than they are in our country and in other countries that we travel. They don't have road signs. They aren't necessarily mile markers. But they did have posts. And on these posts, there would be inscriptions. Not graffiti, but curses. And these curses were there to put a curse on anybody that crossed that border to do harm to the people on the other side. It was at one of these posts, perhaps, that these women were standing at. And Oprah kissed her mother-in-law and said goodbye. But Ruth clung to her and wouldn't let go. And then comes a passage in Ruth that's used in churches all over the world, very inappropriately, usually at weddings. I've never understood why it's used at weddings, because it's not a comment between a man and a woman. It's a comment between a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law. And Ruth says, "I will go where you lodge. I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried." And so it was with that that Ruth crossed that boundary and went with Naomi back to her home. Now Naomi had kinsmen there at the home, and she came up close to some of them. And one of them was a man named Boaz. He wasn't the closest relative, but he was close enough. He was the second closest. And they needed food. And so Ruth decided to go and pull grain out of the fields. And one of the fields one day where she was pulling grain along the edges after the harvest, they poor people, widows, and orphans were allowed to do this. They went and they gleaned the fields around the edges where the harvesters had not touched the wheat or the barley. And they were able to take whatever they could get. And they were allowed to live on it if it was at all possible. Well, she gathered up quite a bit of this, and she took it to her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law lived. Naomi was allowed to have enough grain to bake the bread that kept them both alive. And then one day, Ruth was near Boaz, and they struck up a conversation. And Boaz said that he had been checking up on her, and that all that she had done for her mother-in-law had been told to him. And basically, he was impressed. The passage we read this morning skips all of this. It's pretty important. Naomi didn't just go down on the threshing floor, sleep at Boaz's feet, conceive his child, and they were married. This took time. Because Boaz couldn't marry her right away. Because he wasn't the closest relative, he was the second closest relative. And that's what their culture demanded. The first one in line would have to come up and accept his wife first. And so they struck up a conversation the next morning, and Boaz took off and he went down to the gate. He knew what he was going to do. And this is the way that culture worked. If you needed something done, you would go and sit at the gate. And you'd wait for the person that you needed to talk with. And you'd call him aside. And Boaz called his kinsman aside. And said, come over here and sit for a second. And this went over and he sat down next to him. And Boaz waited for 10 more elders of the community to walk by. And he asked them to come sit. And they sat at the gate, and Boaz looked at the man that was first in line and said, you know, Naomi's come back, and she needs to sell a piece of her land because she doesn't have any money. She needs money to be able to live off of. And since you're the first one in line, you can buy it if you want to. And he says, oh, great, I'll take it. Because it meant more land for him. And then Boaz said, yeah, but you know, there's another little get. You'll have to accept Naomi along with the property. And then, oh yeah, I forgot, there's one other thing. You'll have to marry Ruth. And he said, you know, if I take all that on, then I'm jeopardizing my own inheritance. I'm not going for it. He said, but, you know, you're the next one in line. You could buy the property. And Boaz says, yeah, I could buy the property. So Boaz does something strange in Scripture at that point for people that don't understand it. It says he reached down and he took off his shoe and he held it in the air. And he said, you guys are witnesses. I buy the property. And I'll take Ruth as my wife. And I'll be responsible for Naomi. There was something about their culture and shoes. But if you're in a group like that, and you've got 10 men around, and you reach down and you take off your shoe, that means it's a done deal. That's the signing of the contract, people. Different cultures do things differently. So he took off his shoe, and that's how he took and was able to get Ruth as his wife. But before all of that takes place, Naomi and Ruth had had a conversation. And that's part that we read today. And Naomi tells Ruth, what you need to do is watch where Boaz goes tonight. And when he lays down and goes to sleep, go down and uncover his feet. And then you lay down and go to sleep. And then you do whatever he tells you to do. And Ruth did that. Ruth chose, out of her freedom and out of her love for her mother-in-law, to obey her. Now, that's not a real good verb in our language. We don't like obeying things. Of course, in this uniform, I have to do it all the time. I've gotten kind of used to it. There's been times when I've kind of gotten used to getting around it, too. But Ruth decided to be obedient to her mother-in-law. And she said in that passage which we read, "All that you tell me to do, I will do." And so she went and she uncovered Boaz's feet and she lay down, and it says that he was startled in the night. I think his feet got cold. And that's when they had the real conversation. And that's when all of this came into being. It is out of our freedom that we make our choices. It is out of our freedom that we choose to be obedient to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if the vestry will give me some leeway here, you won't be angry with me at the end. In our gospel reading this morning, we see that this widow has gone and she's come to give her offerings to her faith. And she took those two little tiny pennies and she put her 2 cents worth in. Now, a lot of you probably have heard over time that the church would like to see 10%. The vestry probably settled for that. But what Jesus said was that out of her poverty, she gave everything she had. Jesus doesn't ask for 10%. Jesus asks for 100%. And he wants 100% of us. And 100% of what we have. Now, he doesn't necessarily want it all to go into offering. I had a small church in upstate New York. This time of year, it's strange that this passage comes in this time of year, because in a lot of churches across the United States, this is Stewardship Sunday. And in all those churches, they're talking about stewardship and the need for people to give. In that small church in upstate New York, if people gave anywhere near 10%, they'd have starved to death. So I had to come up with a whole new way that they could figure out how much to give to the church. I started with 1%, 2%, and I worked my way to 5%, and I stopped. And you know, within a year, that church was completely self-sufficient, because those people realized that they started using all their money as though it had been blessed, not just the money that was put in their plate. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith with the Nicene Creed on page 358. We believe in one God,
the Father and the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and life in the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people of Form 5.
Form 5 is found on page 389. And peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. for the whole church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love, and be found without fault the day of your coming. We pray to you, O Lord. For Catherine, our presiding bishop, Rustin, our assisting bishop, for all bishops and other ministers, especially St. Matthew's Beavers, St. Andrew Stevens Village in Rampart, St. Jude's North Pole, St. Mark's Nenana, St. George's Cordova, St. George's in the Arctic Kotzebue, Community of Tagish, Yukon Territory, the World Council of Churches, and the Native People of the Diocese of Arizona. And for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease, that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who do not yet believe, and for those who have lost their faith, that they may receive the light of the gospel, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For ourselves, for the forgiveness of our sins, and for the grace of the Holy Spirit to amend our lives, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being free from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the military and families at Fort Hood, for Berkman, Seymour, John, Essie, Hannah, and Catherine, for Isaac, Arthur, Phyllis, Kristen, Elmerlene, Joan, Arnold, Sharon, and James, for Howard, Mary, Kathy, Audrey, Richard, and Byron, for Linda, Maggie, Norma, Harold, for Vince, Frank, Beverly, Bentley, Rita, Robert, Beau, Rodney, Joe, Heather, Diane, Alvin, Mona, and Margo, for Leroy, Cara, Carolyn, Al, Lisa, Bill, Coco, for those traveling, for those in recovery, for all serving overseas and their families, for our family in Denali Center, the Pioneer Home, the correctional centers, other homes and programs, for all those grieving, and for those that we now name out loud or in our hearts. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church, especially John, Elaine, Lucy, and those we now name, that with all the saints they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord,
rejoicing in the fellowship of St. Matthew and all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God.
To you, Lord, our God.
for yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And now back on page 360, let us confess our sins to God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with your whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name, amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you to eternal life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us share that with one another.
Most of the announcements are in the bulletin already. Most of the announcements are already in the bulletin. The endowment board has got their Advent sales in the parish hall, which you may have noticed already. Cindy Strager, with the wonderful health ministry, is explaining Medicare plans, which might be very useful to some people. She was doing that between the services. I was out there, but I didn't notice it. I was doing the coffee hour.
She's in the library.
She's in the library, apparently. After the... tomorrow there's an endowment fund board meeting at 5:30. There's a vestry meeting at 5:30 on Tuesday in the parish library. And the Sunday school has got a wonderful newsletter, which is posted in the parish hall on the stairwell near the glass doors, explaining what they're up to. And they're also participating in the Shoebox Christmas this year. And there's an insert in explaining this and brochures around the church if you would like to help. They still need somebody to coordinate the Christmas pageant. So who would like to do that? Raise your hand. Crowds of people. Raise your hands. Coordinating the Christmas pageant. Well, Magda Grunin used to do a wonderful job with that with her help of her husband. Joint husband and wife would be a great addition to that. Then there's the Music and Magic concert in 2 weeks. Contact Jane Sandstrom, or if you can't get hold of Jane, then get hold of me and I'll contact her regarding the Music and Magic. It can be anything. It can be any sort of like a talent show, and it's just a fun time in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. And contact me with anything, either singing or doing a dance, I suppose, playing the piano, any other musical type of instrument, reciting a poem, reading a passage that interests you, bringing a painting you may have done, all kinds of things. And finally, the family of John Peter, who is the nephew of Catherine Peter, asked that his obituary be distributed this morning. So copies of it are on the table in the hallway. And there are also United Thank offering boxes in the hallway and on the piano in the church. And I want to thank everybody for $727.93 already collected this fall, which adds to the spring collection of $214.47. So thank you all.
I just wanted to say, Saturday, we started a YouTube. It starts at 4 to 6 o'clock on Saturdays at the parish hall. And then we were thinking about not having it next week, but I guess we'll just go ahead and have it, you know, on Saturday. I'm kind of a very festival, so, but we just wanted to go ahead and have it anyway. You know, it was really fun, you know, and the kids that was there, so it was fun. So just for, you know, these are, I guess, I don't know, we don't have a certain age, maybe about 11 years old and older. So if you have any kids, you know, bring them by and for 2 hours and you can pick them up at 6 o'clock. Yeah, drop them off at 4 and pick them up at 6. Thank you.
One other announcement. Daughters of the King is meeting on Thursday at 5:30.
Are there any other announcements? Are there any birthdays or anniversaries?
Let's see, there's two of them, so we could. Okay, so this is the up to prayer. Go for anniversary. Okay. I'm going to do two prayers instead of one. Okay? Okay. Okay, and. Oh, we got more. Okay. And who are we praying for? Jordan. And Roseanne. And.
Melanie.
Okay. The birthday prayer is prayer 50 on page 830. Let us pray. O God,
our times are in your hands. Look with favor we pray on your service.
Your Jordan.
Roseanne.
As they know the end of the year, grant that they may grow in wisdom and grace, and strengthen their trust in your goodness all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Heavenly Father, we are grateful for these who have come forward to celebrate their years. And today, a special day, where we remember that and give you thanks and praise. Be with them and bless them and watch over them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now the wedding prayer. Somebody help me out here.
431.
Page 431. At the top of the page, O God,
you have so consecrated the covenant of marriage that it only represents the spiritual unity between Christ and His church. Send therefore your blessing on the church, that they may so love, honor, and cherish each other in faithfulness and patience, in wisdom and true godliness, that their harmony may be attained in their blessing.
Heavenly Father, you were there when they were married. You have watched them grow over the years. Continue to bless them and be with them and encourage them on their way. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. Are there any other announcements or anything like that? Do we have any visitors with us today? Okay. Could you stand up and introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Jennifer. I come from Virginia.
From Virginia. Okay. Is there anyone else?
The Goodman Lutheran Church between 4 and 5:30. The Centenary are having the annual Lutefisk dinner. And Scott always has a smart answer about that. So, but anyway, you're welcome to come if you have $20 to pay at the door.
Well, I'm not Scott, and I don't know what kind of fish that is.
Some people say it smells a lot.
I think I've had something like it than in Germany. I made the mistake of going to a guest house once, and it was their day off, so that meant everything they served was cold. and they had this thing on the menu that was a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox. It looked like a set of Army orders. And so I couldn't read it, so I just pointed and said, I'll have one of those. And I thought it was going to be a bratwurst, but it turned out to be a brat herring, which is a fish they put in a pickle barrel about the day Columbus sailed. Even the Norwegians know how to fish it.
They soak it in lard for a long time before they wash it, and they wash it for a long time to get rid of the lard. And then it's like jelly, and it shakes like that. And when you see it doing that in the pan, you know it's really easy.
We have a gift for our visitor that comes the furthest, and it's not one of those jelly kind of fish. But it jiggles. If there's no other announcements or birthdays or visitors, then you get to render unto the Lord the glory due His name as the ushers wait upon you. And may you spend the portion that you keep as though it too has been blessed.
Good morning. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks and praise.
It is right and a good thing and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Therefore we praise you. Join our voices with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, who forever proclaims him, proclaim the glory of your name. Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and became the subjects of evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only eternal Son, to share in our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to bring us back to you, to God, the Father of all. He outstretched his arms on the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night that he was handed over to suffering death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of new covenant, which was shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father. In this sacrifice and praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink, and new unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament, serve you in unity, constancy, and in peace. And on the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Nor
Amen.
As we follow in our prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. People of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you. Feed on him with thanksgiving. Amen. Everybody's welcome to the table. You want to come up and don't want communion? Just cross your arms like this and you will be blessed.
Father,
365, Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
And now may, with the history of Ruth, we all use our freedom of choice to become obedient to our Lord. And may we experience the peace of God, which passes all understanding. May it keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and the love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
We have a closing hymn. 657. Let us stand.
Ave Maria.
love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.